All right, continuing our series with Dr. Nick Wright from the Museum Service. We're still looking at Coal Rain and we're still in the Mesolithic period of time. So, Nick, take us further.
Right, so yeah, we're still talking about Mesolithic populations here. So that's populations who lived in Ireland about 10,000 years ago. Last week, we were talking about whether there were any connections with Scotland. So I guess that brings us into the question of who were these people? Do we know anything about them? And while we don't have, I was saying last week, we don't have direct evidence that they necessarily travelled backwards and forwards between Ireland and Scotland too often, we don't have any evidence that they didn't either. So it's quite possible. What we can tell, looking at the stone tools, is that we seem to have a single material culture existing from Ireland right across Western Europe. And so they're all making core axes. They're all making microliths, the very small little flint tool you talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're making the same material culture, the same objects, then there is an argument to say that they are...
Yes, they're communicating at some level or other. Yeah.
And that they're a single community, more global community, rather than, you know, a village.
Yes.
That they're communicating with each other.
Yes.
We're only starting to get some evidence for ancient DNA from Ireland.
Oh, right.
Some studies, and these will come up in future talks as well, some studies published in the last 5 years or so have been looking at the DNA extracted from ancient bones. So we can start to tell what people look like and how they were related to each other. For the Mesolithic period, the evidence is a bit scant in Ireland itself. But we do have evidence from other places in Western Europe. And it's all coming back with the same evidence, which is this population group that we see through the stone tools genetically are also distantly related to each other.
Right.
So that doesn't matter if you're in Denmark or England or France or Spain. And presumably, by extension, it doesn't matter if you're in Ireland.
Right.
It's all the same group.
Right. And this is a loose familial process going on across many generations over the whole of Europe, really.
That's right. And remember, we don't have countries in this period.
No.
We don't even have permanent settlements. We have mobile populations that are continually moving and shifting.
Yes.
And you must imagine they're mingling at certain times of the year.
And part of that, of course, is the sea level you mentioned the last time round. So what's the situation? We know that there used to be a land bridge between the south of England and France and what have you. So could you paint a picture of what that situation is at this 10,000 years ago?
It's after the last ice age. Ireland is cut off. There is no land bridge to Ireland. And that's why in Ireland we don't have populations of snakes and moles and those sorts of creatures, because they couldn't get here because there was no land bridge. England did still have a land bridge connecting it to sort of Belgium and France, and that's an area called Doggerland.
Yes.
And it's currently the Dogger Bank. If you ever listen to the shipping forecast, they talk about Dogger Bank. That is an area now under the water in the North Sea.
Quite shallow, though, apparently.
But quite shallow.
Yeah.
And that was a land bridge that connected Britain to continental Europe.
Right.
So that obviously would have aided population movement as well, backwards and forth.
Right. So, but we were special. We didn't have that land bridge.
We were a bit special.
I always knew we were special.
So, I mean, some other things that we don't have that they do have in Britain that might surprise some people. In the Mesolithic period, we have no deer in Ireland.
Oh, right.
We had giant deer in an earlier period.
Uh-huh.
But by the time people get to Ireland, there's no deer at all.
Right.
Deer are something that are brought in a later period
yes.
and intentionally actually imported into Ireland. And we have that evidence for the Scottish Isles as well.
Right. Because, yes, I mean, we've got to consider that previous to this, there were ice ages, ice that we can't even imagine, sort of half a mile of ice sitting on the land. And so, but that's in the past, and this is not beyond the second.
This is just after the last ice
last age.
So the two best examples to give about how people actually looked is we have Cheddar Man, who was a Mesolithic man whose body was found in a cave in Cheddar Gorge,
right,
in the southwest of England. And we have Lola. And Lola is a female, that's as much as we can say,
right,
from the island of Lolland in Denmark. They were able to extract DNA from within the skull of Cheddar Man, and they were able to extract DNA for Lola from chewing gum.
Oh.
So, Lola, at some point, was chewing some gum from a birch tree.
Right.
And as she was chewing it, her saliva sort of collected, yes, in little pockets in the gum.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, she then threw out that piece of gum.
Which you do.
As you do.
As you do.
And so archaeologists have recovered that piece of gum.
Uh-huh.
And archaeogeneticists, these people that study ancient DNA, have been able to extract her DNA from chewing gum that's 10,000 years old. And that blows my mind. That is the forefront of science.
That is amazing. That really is.
So the pattern that we get in Cheddar Man, and that we get in Lola, and that we get in other less famous Mesolithic bodies where they've extracted DNA, is all very uniform in terms of what these people look like.
Right, right. Because again, overall, the population would not be huge. I mean, it's spread very thinly across the whole of Europe, isn't it?
Within Ireland itself, you're probably talking in the low thousands.
Yes.
If that. Mm-hmm. And as you say, across Europe, the population would have been quite low. Yeah.
Yes.
So these people, and this tends to come as a bit of a shock to people, because this is the very western edge of Northern Europe, would have had dark, curly hair. They would have had dark skin, and they would have had blue eyes. And yes, when I'm talking about dark skin,
mm-hmm,
it would have been a dark olive at the minimum.
Right.
Moving closer towards sort of a conventional sort of black skin, or
yes,
maybe a South Asian, sort of Southern Indian,
yes,
colored skin.
Right.
So that combination of dark hair, dark skin, and blue eyes pops up everywhere that they have done DNA studies for the Western,
right,
hunter-gatherer population.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. And of course, prior to this, thinking of Europe-wide, you had Neanderthals as well. So, you know, there's still a debate going, is there any Neanderthal genes within us and stuff like that? But that's really interesting. So if we were put back there, these people would look quite different to what we imagine the people in our area would have looked like, you know, because they were different.
Yeah? Absolutely. You know, you look around Ireland today, and while it's starting to change more and more as we go into the 20th and then 21st centuries, the majority of people still are white. You know, yeah, we have the highest proportion of redheaded people anywhere in the world. These are not genes that are there in the Mesolithic period.
Right, right.
So we have a dark-skinned, blue-eyed population who were wearing clothing probably made from animal skins.
Right.
From their stone tools, we know that they had awls or needles.
Yes.
So they probably had tailored animal skins. You know, again, these aren't cavemen.
No.
As we think of them in, mm-hmm, popular consciousness. We probably have sleeves and trouser legs, yes, and that sort of thing. It's fitted clothes, but certainly distinct from people walking around the streets today.
Right. And temperature-wise?
That is a tricky one, and not one that I can give a well-informed answer. There have been fluctuations in temperature over time, and we have had many ice ages at different periods in time, so I'm not prepared to give an informed answer for that one,
okay,
I'm afraid.
No, it's just interesting, but particularly as we are starting to enter a time when our temperatures may change quite radically in the near future. Now, we're going to carry on next week. But for now, thank you very much again, Nick.
Thank you.